I'd like to say good morning to everyone. We're very thankful this morning to be able to join on the call, and we're thankful to those who have joined us as well. God has been good to us. God is good not just some of the time, but He's good all of the time. And we're very thankful this morning to be among the living. Certainly we are blessed to be children of God. If you visit with us, not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and distinguished guest of the call, and we appreciate you being on the call. We pray you follow along with us, for we believe that the Bible is right as we study it. Listen to what God's message is for you in order to save your soul. We believe Jesus died on the cross, not because we ever saw it with our own eyes, but because this book called the Bible tells us our faith in Him comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, that the Bible teaches us that His blood was shedded, and that blood was shedded on that cruel cross of Calvary, where He suffered, bled, and died. Shedded blood that washed our sins away in baptism. Same blood purchased His church, the only church ever read by the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. So thankful to have each and every person on, to our brothers and sisters who have joined us from other congregations. We appreciate you as well, and we love you as well. To the Holland Heights family, we want to thank Brother Stroud for stepping in for me last week at our preaching the gospel meeting. Certainly, we are thankful that God has allowed us to somewhat get back to some normal for us preaching and being able to reach lost souls. Critical time in the world today with so many people dying. The gospel is the only hope for this world. The only hope for this world is Jesus on the cross and Him being crucified, being preached by those of us who believe in the Bible. That's it. That's the hope we have. So how high you hang in there. Stay strong. Never leave the Lord, whatever you do. Just want to do a brief announcement here on behalf of those who we've lost. Many of our family members have lost loved ones, and we know there's a need for grief counseling. So we're going to start back up our grief class. Brother Stroud and Brother Foreman will be the men who will be leading that effort. And we have a format where you will listen to the recorded message, and we have a discussion, open discussion, on the designated day by these leaders, whether it be on a Wednesday or a Saturday or whatever. Majority of those attend desire, we want to meet your needs. So if you have an interest and you want to join in, whether you're calling because you're grieving or because you want to support, and we hope there will be members who want to support in that dialogue and conversation to help those of our family members who are grieving. Go ahead and call or text Brother Stroud or Brother Foreman. Reach out to them, let them know of your interest, or even today. You can hit 5-star at the end of the call and just give them your name that way. They'll kind of have an idea of how many people are going to be joining this class. And we're going to start it up immediately. So we want you to reach out to us so we'll know of the interest. So we know we have a duty to help those who are going through difficult times and grieving the loss of loved ones. This morning, as we continue our study of the book of Acts, we're near the end of this book. We're now in chapter 7. We have walked through chapter 21, 22, 3, 4, 5, up to chapter 26, where Paul had to stand in Jerusalem. He had to defend himself. He had to go before Ananias. He had to go before Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa. Now he's on his way to Rome to appeal to Caesar. So we looked at that week before last, and we looked at that the fact that there were some contrary winds that came with this journey. And I talked about the way we enjoy this study is consider yourself on the ship with Paul and Luke. And Luke records what went on that ship. And that ship for us is a ship of life. You know, we are on a journey. You are trying to make it to heaven. And so we want to, this morning, put an emphasis on if everyone stay on the ship, they all escaped safe to land. We can make it if we stay where God told us to stay and also do the things that are commanded by Him. So consider yourself on the ship, and we'll try to make the application as pertaining to your journey in life. I know home for us, land for us, is we want to land safely in heaven. Let's pick up at verse 26 of Acts 27. Verse 26 of Acts 27. And the Bible says there, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain isle. Luke says, we're going to be cast upon a certain isle. It was obvious that this ship would wreck on some island. The question I have for all of us listening, is it obvious that you and your life, on your life journey, that your life will eventually wreck if you don't change or become more faithful to the Lord and to his kingdom? Many members' lives are wrecked because they got off track, became unfaithful to the Lord, and left the church. Got off that old ship of Zion, which is the journey to heaven. The only way we can make it safe, the only way we can make it safe to land is that we stay on the ship. And verse 27, the Bible says that when the 14th night was come, as we're driven up, as we were driven up, Luke says, and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they knew drew near to some country. Now, this is the midnight trip on the 14th day of this storm. Paul has predicted a wreck will come, but there'll be no harm to anyone on the ship. But the men on the ship are still afraid because the storm, the Euroclydon, is still raging. Just like many of us, you all, in our lives, we get into our midnight hour of suffering. It continues 14 days or for long periods. We're driven by the winds of life. Get worried, even though God has told us in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And there's someone this morning on the call in your midnight hour and 14th day of a storm. Well, you say, Brother Brooks, I've been going through the storm for a long time in my life. Storm in my home. A storm in my marriage, me, my husband, my wife. I've been struggling. My family, going through a storm with my financials, my situation in my home, with my family, on my job, in relationships. Storms that are brought on by my health conditions, or storms that are going on last long time because I'm suffering from the consequences of my mistake. You say, Brother Brooke, what is my advice? What is my advice to you? Remember, you can't make it safely unless you stay on the ship. You try to make it to land, though. Stay on. Stay with the Lord. Don't give up on God. And he's faithful to his promises. How you know that, Brother Brooks? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffered to us war, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. 1 John chapter 2 and the verses number 25. The Bible says that this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. So whatever you do, don't leave the Lord. You won't escape. Safe if you do. You won't make it to the land. You got to stay on the ship. You got to stay with the Lord, or you cannot be saved. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12 and verse 25, he says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped, who not refuse him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape. Notice this, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. If you turn from the Lord, you're certainly doomed for a shipwreck, and you won't make it to land safely. The Bible says in Revelation 2:10, the Lord speaks. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The Lord said, you may be going through suffering for a long time. You're going to suffer. But he said, be faithful, even if it requires dying, and I will give thee a crown of life. Back to Acts 27, verse 28. Luke said, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. What are they doing? What are they doing? This is how they check the depth to see how close they are to crashing. They know they go closer they get to shallow water, soon the ship will wreck. So how do we apply this in our journey? What should we be doing in our lives? Number one, here's what we should be doing. We should be, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not. Know ye not your own self, not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Here's what you got to do in life. On life's journey, trying to get to heaven. Check the depth. Check the fathom, the depth of your relationship with God. Ask yourself, how serious have I been? How committed I am? Check your depth of relationship. It may be just a little too shallow. If you're too shallow, you won't make it to land safely. Check the depth of your faithfulness to the Lord. Check that fathom, that depth of faithfulness to the Lord. What do you mean by faithfulness to the Lord, brother? I'm not talking about just attending worship. I'm talking about faithfulness in your relationship with the Lord. And if you're faithful to your relationship to the Lord, then you'll be faithful to worship services, Bible class. And you know that you're faithful because you love God and you would avoid the crash. Check the depth of your sin and see how close you are to crashing. What do you mean, Brother Brooks? Sometimes we can get so deep in sin that it seems like there's no way out. If there's somebody on the call this morning, have fallen, have about to give up. How close are you to leaving the church? Have you said, well, I just can't do it. Every time I turn around, I think I got myself together, and I'm back in sin again. Maybe you need help. Maybe you need to be thinking about something. You need to listen to the word of God and allow it to penetrate your heart. It'll bring you to repentance. But remember this, leaving God is not the answer. Leaving the church is not the answer. Only those who will escape to land safely will be those who don't give up. Everybody falls. Everybody sins. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's a way out. There is a way of escape. God will give us that. You can't give up now just because you've fallen. You can't give up. You may feel like you're in quicksand and you're going deeper and deeper and deeper into it. But remember this. Even though it may be dark in your life and dark in the room you're in, outside there's still light. Jesus still is calling. Come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what is the message here? Examine yourself. Take a self-examination of the fathom of the depth of your relationship with God, the depth of your faithfulness to the Lord, and the depth of the sin that you're in. There is a sin unto death. And he says, not for us not to pray for that one. That's the sin that you never repent of. That's the sin that you die in. The sin unto death. And the sin not unto death. The sin not unto death is the one that you repent of, and then God will forgive you. The sin unto death is the one you never repent of. So that's what you got to focus on. You got to examine yourself, check the depth on your journey to heaven, and if you find yourself deep in sin, if you find yourself deep into sin to the point about to leave the Lord, and give up. Remember, you cannot make it safe. The Bible says in verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Wished for the day. See that? If you really fear God, if you really fear crashing, fear falling, or if you really fear losing your soul. Brothers, sisters, and friends, at some point in life, on your journey in life, you have to put out the anchors to stop your sin, stop your falling, and stop wrecking your life. Cast out four, he said. They cast out four anchors. You cast out as many as you need in order to stop this shipwreck. In other words, you have to take action to stop whatever it is that will cause you to fall. Start praying to God for daylight. For daylight. Notice this. He said, they wished for day. They wanted to see some light. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 13, there had no temptation taken, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Some people say God will put no more on you than man. What he's talking about here is that God's going to give you a way out of every situation. That's what he's talking about. We have to bear suffering in life. That's, the Bible teaches that we're going to suffer. We're going to have trials, tribulations, temptations. But you're able because God will give you a way to escape. That's what we, that's the emphasis of this morning. We wish for day. We mean we want to see the light of the day. And Paul is encouraging Corinthians, don't quit, don't give up, and know God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above that, will not suffer, excuse me, to be tempted above that you are able. But with the same temptation, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse number 13. Verse 30. And as the ship were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out on the foreship. Now, let me explain that. These men, when he says under color, it's a pretense. He was pretending to put out anchors. Remember, these were prisoners. They were pretending to put out the anchors, but they really were about to flee or run from this danger. So they're trying to get away, plus they are at danger of losing their life. Remember, Paul told them what's going to happen. So they have a fear here, but they are under color, pretending. Pretending is the emphasis I want to put in this application here. How many on the call this morning pretending to put out anchors? Maybe you've been on the call every Sunday, or you were going to the church building every week. But in reality, you're running from your problems. See, a lot of times, we run from doing what's right, or running from living right, or running from getting right, but you pretend in your confession every week. You're pretending that you're trying to do right. Some people say, I'm trying. Well, sometimes you can say, I'm trying, and you're really not lying. You're not trying. You're continuing to pretend that you're not going to flee. You're pretending. They let down the boat into the sea undercover as though. Now, think about that. At what point in your Christian life do you stop the undercolor stuff? Pretend. You got to get real with yourself and start putting out true anchors to stop your sin. Now, here's the thing. When we look at our lives, it requires that each of us look in the mirror to save ourselves. So often, we look everywhere else but itself. The emphasis on this point is that you are fooling yourself if you believe, you're deceiving yourself, you believe that you can continue in sin under pretense. You may never have thought about it like that. maybe never thought about this as a pretense, that I'm going through undercover, looking like, as though I'm okay with the Lord. So here's the warning that I have for us, is that if a man or woman say they have no sin, then they are a liar. John said in 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we heard of him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There is a pretense. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now he says, if we say we have no sin, notice what happens. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What am I putting my emphasis on right now? Is that don't lead yourself into deception. You can pretend so long that you adore believing that you're okay with the way your current status with the Lord, when you know you're living a willfully sinful life. Everyone on this call can look in the mirror and see what your willful sin is. You've got to understand. Don't pretend. Don't go undercover as though you have cast out the anchor. Don't do that. Be honest with self. That's my advice. That's something I try to practice. Be honest with self, because you can't fool God. You may fool others. You may fool people looking at him. Oh, you can pretend and get away with it with us, with other people looking. But you can't look in the mirror and pretend to God that you're something you're not, and because God is looking. Now, verse number 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, talking about those who are trying to flee, ye cannot be saved. Here it is. Paul directly tells them, you got to stay right here. You got to stay right where you are. And to members of the Church of Christ, the Bible is right. The Church of Christ is right. The doctrine we teach is right. No one can prove the Church of Christ wrong. Right down to the name on the sign on the building. It's in the Bible. It says Church of Christ. The salvation plan in the Bible is what we follow. Our way of worship, singing, praying, giving, preaching the word of God, taking communion every Sunday, all those are the things that we must continue to do, or we cannot go to heaven. We got to abide in the ship, abide on the right path, or you will not make it to land safe. You got to abide in the faith, or you will not make it to land safe. You got to abide in the church, the true church. The devil may be visiting with us. This is emphasis here. That if you're trying to make it safe to heaven, you got to get on the one ship that's going to get you there. There ain't but one church in the Bible, and it is the Church of Christ. You got to obey the truth. You got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. You got to be baptized for remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. The Lord then will add you to the one church. Acts 2:47. You got to be in the one church. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. And that body is the church. Ephesians 1:22. Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:24. The body is the church. And there is but one body. And he referred to it in Romans 16:16. Paul says it. Salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ. Salute you. The brothers and sisters, members of the Lord's church, unfortunately we see today many members of the Church of Christ leave in the truth. Congregations forsaking the true pattern of worship or teaching other means of bringing people into the Lord's kingdom. There's only but one way, and that's Christ's doctrine. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. 2 John in verses number 9. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. So what are we abiding in? Brothers and sisters, I'm thankful to be a member of the Church of Christ. That's something you should hang your hat on. That's something you can hold your head up for. You know we are teaching the truth. And you can be confident that you'll make it to land safe if you stay with the doctrine of Christ. What's the opposite of that? The doctrine and commandments of me. This people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus said, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. That doctrine there has an S on it. That's Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, what I just quoted. If we leave the doctrine of Christ, if we don't abide in the doctrine, 2 John verse 9 again, we will not make it home safe. Now, if the world ever needed to hear simple truth and simple salvation messages, the time is now. People need to know what to do. So many people are dying. So many people are getting the COVID. So many people are on ventilators and hospitals. And God is plastering this, putting it on face, in our face, letting us see death. And how it's running rampant. Friends and families are dying. People that we know are dying. People that are sick. All this is for a reason. God is sending us a message that we all better be aware that death is coming. It's lurking at your door. It's there. Death is with you. Everywhere you go, in your car, death sits as your passenger. In your doctor's office, he's sitting right by you as you wait for your appointment. Death is just waiting. Everywhere you go, it's a shadow following you around. Everywhere you go, it's just a matter of time when God will say, okay, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. What are we saying? Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these people abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. That's what he was telling them. That's what I'm saying. The ship of the true doctrine of Christ. The truth, we must stay with the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever we do, brothers and sisters, Island Heights family, whatever we do, we must never leave the truth. Or stop preaching the truth, or give in to the false doctrines that are out there. In verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Here, after listening to Paul, the soldiers cut the ropes. They changed their mind. They cut the soldiers cut so these guys couldn't run. So everyone would be safe. So I would apply this like this. At some point in your life, or my life, in our lives, we have to cut the rope of pretense to get real about saving your own soul. You got to cut the ropes. See, these guys were trying to throw out these anchors. They were trying to flee under color as though they were casting anchors. They was not really casting them. They were just trying to get off that ship. And Paul is warning them. And so the soldiers, in order to prevent them from getting off the ship, cut these ropes. But I'm trying to make that application to all of us. We have to cut the ropes. We can't leave the ship You got to start thinking about your life, thinking about what you must do in order to abide in the ship and to make it safe to land. That's the emphasis. Repenting is the cutting of the rope. You're not going to ever stop sinning, or you're never going to ever get stronger in the Lord unless you repent of what's hindering you from being safe. Have you thought about that this morning? Am I bringing that to your forefront of your life to make you think about where you are, what you're doing, what emphasis you should be placing on your salvation, what actions you should be taking in order to save yourself from this untoward generation? In verse 33, while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, have taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you, verse 34, to take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Listen to this carefully now. See how we make an application for us. I want to do it like this. Many Christians are fasting when it comes to their spiritual life. They go through long periods of suffering without taking in the meat of the word. See, if you want to grow and make this journey safe, at some point, you got to feed your spiritual body for help. We're not talking about eating food here. I'm talking about the Word of God is for those who are spiritually weak. It's the food that God gives us. From the time we get out of the water as new babies, we start on milk. Just like we put our babies on milk because they can't eat meat. This is why I encourage all of you to go there. Don't feel like you're growing. Go back to the fundamentals. Back to the first principle class. What? You got to have milk. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, Peter says, desire, notice this, the sincere milk of the word. Here's why. That ye may grow thereby. Paul said to these people, I pray you take some meat. They had been struggling for 14 days. They had been fasting. They hadn't been eating. And Paul said, you got to eat to survive. You need the strength when this ship hit shore to make it home safely. Brother, sister, you have to eat. This morning you're eating. Your feet being fed. The word of God. And to the new members on the church, in the church, that have been baptized. You can't look at your age. Like you may be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. If you just got baptized, no matter what your physical age is, you're still a baby in Christ. You need milk. You need the fundamentals of what's been going to get you there. Brother Foreman done a great job on the first principle class. Here's coming to the end. However, remember, there's always a need to have the first principles of teaching. Here's why. The Hebrew writer said, in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, but become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:12-14. So what is the emphasis I'm putting here? Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying in this text. I'm encouraging everyone on the call to think about it. We're trying to make it to heaven. We're trying to make it safe. That's the title of this lesson. They all escape safe to land. So what do we have to do to survive life's journey, to escape safe and make heaven as our destination of landing? Well, we gotta be healthy. We gotta stay on the ship and eat plenty of food. You gotta eat. You gotta be in Bible classes. You can't. The babies don't feed themselves. They depend on people to feed them. Depend on people to help them. And that's what the church is for. That's what your leaders are for. That's what Brother Stroud is for. That's what the teachers are for. The sisters who teach the babies. The sisters who teach the young children, the men who teach the Bible class. We're all feeders. We're feeding those who need the spiritual growth, and we pray that you will be fed long enough to get off of milk and to get on meat, something strong. When you get a full age, when you're starting to mature enough to be able to understand the Bible, to discern, use your senses to exercise, got the knowledge that you need in order to make it home, to make it safe, you got to be informed. You need to be on every Bible class, in every Bible class. Be on the morning worship, evening, afternoon service. We feeding you. That's what Russ Brown, our job is, to feed the church of God. We're trying to feed you. If you don't get on the call, if you don't listen to the Word of God, if you don't attend Bible classes, you're going to be too weak to make it to land safe. Don't you see why you're weak? Because you're not being fed. And I know there's some of you who are going to be Sunday morning only attendance. It's been like that all the 36, 37 years I've been in church. Many people only attend the AM service. They don't come to Bible class on Wednesday. They don't come back on evening service. And you're not getting enough food. You're not getting enough to keep you strong. That's why some of you are falling. Some of you are going down hard. Some of you are struggling now because you have not been fed properly. But it's not too late. It's not too late. You can start today. Start today making sure you get enough food in you so that not a hair on your head fall. In other words, nothing will be lost. You won't lose your soul. Yeah. You may say you're in physical, mental depression or spiritual depression. So what's causing that? When the body is unhealthy, you can't fight off these different diseases, immune system. That's what's going on with a lot of people today with COVID. Their immune system is not strong enough to deal with it. Sin is a deadly disease. It's just like COVID. All of us are infected. Every one of us got the sin virus. And remember, it mutates. In other words, it mutates and it changes and we rename it as a variant. The original sin, mutation means there was a parent, a star of the disease. And then it mutated, it changed, but it's still deadly. Let me give you what I'm talking about. The parent of sin virus started in the garden, Adam and Eve. Remember, they were not dealing with anything but being deceived by the devil and lying. What got them was the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. But remember, that was the parent. That was the beginning of sin. And sin became something that come upon all men because of Adam's sin. And now we've got to deal with physical death. But there are mutations. Mutations from the original parent sin. And because the chromosomes change in the COVID, they see there's a different look at it. And they start renaming it. The gamma. The alpha. Now the most deadly is the Delta. What is it? It's still COVID, but it's a different mutation. So yours can be different. You come into the church and you may be dealing with fornication, or you may be dealing with lying or adultery, or you may be dealing with that form early. And then you grow, you start growing into your life, and then the other mutations take over. You start looking at other things, other mutations, other variants. You're still seeing, but we call it lying. We call it whispering. We call it backbiting. We call it gossiping. Those are all variants, just like Delta, Alpha, Gamma. What is the parent of it? It's still sin. The fear that we must have is that we don't identify which variant we have that's going to cause us to not make it safely to land. We will not land safely. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now watch how he lists all the variants that mutated from the original sin in the Garden of Eden. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiter, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient, right down to the children, to parents. That's a variant. It's still sin when a child is disobedient to his parent without understanding. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know the judgment of God. Notice this. They which do such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. So you cannot make it to land safe if you don't identify what is the variant of disease called sin that's going to keep you from making it safe. I just went down a whole list of them. Homosexuality was not the sin of God, of the Garden. That wasn't the parent's sin. That came later. Homosexuality, same-sex marriage, all these new variants coming up now. They're still coming up. All that we see. And so my point is this. If you don't get fed, it's kind of like if you don't get treatment, if you don't get your immune system built up and your body's healthy, then you could get COVID and die. You were not properly feeding yourself. Paul said to the people, take some meat. I'm saying to you, what boosts the spiritual immune system is the Word of God. And that's why many people would die of the sin virus. Spiritual death will occur because your spiritual immune system was not healthy. What you got to do? You got to make a decision to take the bread of life and let it work on your heart. That's your spiritual immune system. If you take the Word of God and you let it come into your life, it will save your soul. That's why James says, James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The Word of God is quick and powerful. sharpen it in a two-edged sword, piercing even the mind and soul of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and the thought and intent of the heart. See, the Word of God can work on your heart. It can bring you to a reality of what's going on with your life and how to deal with whatever you're going through. This also applies when it comes to your ability to deal with things such as losing loved ones, being strong enough to deal with it. Look here, you all. Just look at your family portraits now. Remember, we're going to lose loved ones. How do you get through it? Well, the Bible tells us there's a God of all comfort. And when you know the God of all comfort is there, which that's part of growing. And yes, you would cry. Don't think you're not going to cry. Don't think you won't for a minute that you won't miss your loved ones. Don't think for a minute that it's abnormal to mourn and grieve the loss of someone you love. That's right. That's expected. God gave us the tear ducts. He also gave us death to help us to remember that we too will die. What are you saying, Brother Bert? See, when you're fed spiritually, when you're healthy, and you're taking in the Word of God, you can ride out the storm. You can ride out the storm. You'll be able to make it through it. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, you will cry. Yes, you will mourn. But the Bible says, blessed be God, the Father of Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort of where we ourselves are comforted of God. For the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, and the following verses. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. But whether we be comforted, it is your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also the consolation. So what is Brother Brooks trying to get us to see here in this point? I'm saying that we're not going to just suffer because we've done something wrong, we sin, and that's like this. We're going to suffer in life. Our health, the bodies are designed to go back to the dust. We're going to suffer from being sick. We're going to suffer because we are mentally suffering. We may have loved ones who you have to take care of. You may have to do something you may sit there and have to sit by the dying bed of your loved ones. You got to go through it. That's the storm. You got to ride out the storm. You may be suffering from all kind of things. But here's the thing I'm trying to get us to see. If you don't stay with the Lord, if you don't stay in the ship, if you don't get fed, if you don't cut them ropes, you're going to crash. And you're not going to make it to land safely. So people fall apart when things go bad because they are not strong enough. Because they're too weak spiritually to deal with whatever life sends you. Brothers and sisters, life will send us tragedy, trauma, trials, tribulations, travails. They're coming. You just got to be ready. So, Brother, what are you trying to do? You've got to be strong. To the new people on the call, you got to stay in here so we can help you. You need every Bible class you can get. every worship service you can attend, all of the Word of God you can get in you, because something is coming. Don't y'all see it? There's a Rockladon coming. We all see it happening to our families. Somebody's next. Somebody you ain't expecting. Something's coming you don't know about. It's going to happen. But if you're healthy, but if you're eating properly, but if you're being fed, your spiritual immune system will protect you. They got what they call a breakthrough cases when it comes to COVID. You get the vaccine and still get the disease. The same thing we're seeing. You can be baptized, I call that the vaccination. And I'm not promoting whether you get vaccinated or not, just your business. What I am promoting is baptism as the vaccination for sin. And then, remember, there's no such thing. Once saved, always saved. There's a breakthrough case. In other words, you can fall away again. You can go right back into sin. You got to stay with the doctor, Jesus. You got to stay with the treatment plan. You got to stay on the ship. In other words, you got to stay in the hospital. And you got to stay in the hospital in order to get strong enough to make it to the land. And the hospital is the church. Now, I spent some time there because I really think that's going to be the case for many people in the church. Now, are you in that situation? And you know, well, no, I don't come to Bible class. I know, but I'm just struggling right now. But you got to stop making excuses. You got to stop there. You got to cut the ropes. Stop making it as it's okay to keep doing what you're doing and to stay away from the Bible. You get on the call this afternoon. Stop making excuses and take as much of God's word in you so you can start getting ready for this storm that's coming. This is Rockladon coming. It's coming. That's, this ship is in the middle of a storm. And Paul is talking to him. So you got to eat. You got to eat for your spiritual health. Let's go back and close. Verse 35. When he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God and presented them all. And when he had broken, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. They also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship, 276 souls, Bible, are there. They're listening to Paul's advice. 276 people. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. After getting spiritually fed, only then we have strength to lighten the heavy loads of life. You can't lighten the load. You don't throw the wheat off yet. You got to eat first before your heavy loads of life are start seeing some relief. You're getting comforted because you're being fed. You got to take the feeding in order to start lightening the ship. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded. It were possible thrust in the ship. At some point, here's my application on this verse, at some point during the storm, daylight will come. You may not know how your storm is going to end, but at least during daylight, you can try to make the landing as safe as possible. So here it is. In our lives, sometimes we see daylight. Our ship is already about to wreck. So we must take action to prevent from being worse by doing nothing. In other words, as soon as you wake up and see your life is headed down the path of destruction, take action. Take action immediately to prevent unnecessary damage. What are you saying? In your marriage, if you see what you're doing is causing damage, take action. If you see what you're doing in your relationship with God, as I've talked about this morning, causing damage, take action. You got to take action in your life, whether it be your home, as a father, as a mother, as a child in the home. You got to take personal responsibility for your actions in that household or in those relationships. That's right. See, when you look at life, we look at this situation we're in. If we don't wake up, if we don't see the day as a time when the light shines, you can see. When I'm preaching the word of God, it's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It's the daylight when your word of God can point out what you need to do. And you discover a certain creek. You discover a certain path that you need to be on. And it'll be in your mind that I got to take this path right here. I got to go down this certain creek in order to make it to shore, in order to make it safe. See, every individual on the call, there's a day when you can see where you're going is going to lead to destruction. When you're looking, you'll find a way through the word of God. And when, verse 40, and when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. See, after you take actions, commit to God, start feeding your spiritual immune system, commit to God for final landing to heaven with our home and safe. And fall, verse 41, and fall into a place where two seas met. They ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Here's my application here. You may not prevent some consequences to your course of life. We have to live with consequences. One of the things that we must accept is that we cannot change no past. You've got to deal with the consequences of your life, of your past. But you don't have to let it ruin your day, your present. You can't do nothing about the past. You've got to forget those things which are behind. In other words, don't let it come into the day. That's not, I know that's harder than it. It's easier to say than done. I struggle with that. I know, but we have to remind ourselves. But we have to have somebody around us to remind us. That was yesterday. I had a friend do that for me. That was yesterday. That is up to you how you deal with it today. Some things we have to accept that we can't change. We can't go back and undo it. Can't go back and undo the loss of a loved one. You can't go back and undo a mistake you made. You can't go undo it. You can't undo nothing. You got to deal with it. That's just a consequence. And when you do that, what you're doing is suffering the consequence. But you can be thankful today that you're not in that same situation. That's what we can do to help our minds. Because Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Brothers and sisters, all we can deal with in our lives is what's going on right now. You can't deal with the future because it's not yours. You can't deal with the past because you can't change it. All you can deal with is right now. And if you think about it, right now ain't so bad as it was the past. Right now may be dark for you. You may be going through some things, but remember, God is still there. The Bible says in verse 42, I'm closing, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, notice who's willing to save Paul, because of one man on this ship, the Apostle Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, notice it, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass, here's my title right here, that they escaped all safe to land. Here's the point. Hopefully you got it through the lesson. Stand in the ship. Stand in the church. For the miles, you see, I'm on the ship. This is what he was talking about. stay around righteous people like Paul. Because of Paul, these people made it. See? Now, they were saved from physical death because Paul was on the ship. We're saved from spiritual death by abiding in the church and the righteous. The righteous people abide in the church of Christ. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord against them will do evil. Now understand this. It may not be easy, it won't be easy to make it to heaven, but God has promised that you can make it safe. You may want some may go in on a board. Some may go in on broken pieces of the ship. But notice, because they did what Paul told them to do, and because the centurion was willing to save Paul, and commanded that they could swim, swim should cast themselves first in the sea and get the land. Anybody that could swim, they were strong enough to get it. They were strong enough. But there's some people who are not strong enough to swim to the land. You got to, there's going to be a board for you. God going to provide you a way to escape. That's what I've been talking about this morning. You might not be strong enough. And that's where some people are. They're not strong enough to swim. Or they don't have enough knowledge of the Word of God to know how to deal with this storm. But if you're in the ship, if you do what God says, there will be a board of broken pieces to ensure that you make it safe to the land. I hope the lesson will be good for you. All who will escape life journey safe to the land will have to ride on the ship. The ship of life is what I talked about, but the ship of Zion is the church of Christ. If you're on the call today, you've heard me say it throughout the call. Throughout the lesson, I've been talking about the church. Well, you need to understand something. There's no way possible for you to get to heaven unless you obey Jesus, the captain of the ship, the head of the ship. Christ is the head of the church. God loved you, sent his son to die for you. John 3:16. His son came and lived among men about 33 years. In the last 24 hours of his life, he was treated as a criminal. He was treated as someone who had done wrong. He had done no wrong. He knew no wrong. There was no sin or guile fault in his mouth. He died for us. He became sin for us. And they mocked him. They spit on him. They hit him with a buffet fist. They slapped him, put a crown of thorns on his head, beat him, scourged him with a whip, put a tree on his back, called the tree of the cross, and he led him to Calvary, the execution site where Jesus would be executed. He would suffer with nails in his hands and in his feet. He would hang on that cross for 6 long hours to save our souls. To give us the blood that washed our sins away. And the same blood would purchase his church, the ship of Zion, for us to make it to heaven safely. And what did he do? After he suffered on that cross, they took him down and buried him in a bar or two. And he got up early on a Sunday morning with all power in his hands. And he gave the great command, as Paul gave these people. The great command here from Jesus was, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15-16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died, that's number one. Hear it and believe. Acts 15:7. First two things, you got to hear it, then believe it. Number three, you have to repent. You have to change your decision to make, become a Christian needs to be today. Today you hear his voice, order not your heart. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. And if you believe it, you change your mind today and say, Brother Brooks, I want to be baptized. I want to get the spiritual help I need. I want to get into the land safe. Then be willing to confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before being it. And then we will baptize you for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. In baptism, you'll contact the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1:5. That blood wash away your sins, all your past sins be forgiven, washed away by the blood of Jesus. Acts 22:16. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And once your sins are washed away, then the Lord adds you to the ship. And you stay on. You stay on board the ship. Follow the commands of the Lord. And you'll make it home safely. The ship is the church of Christ. And there is but one. If you're here today and you need to respond, if you need prayer, if you need to make a confession, if you need to be baptized, now is the time to do it. Lord, I'm a Christian. Lord, I want to be a Christian. That's what you want to be. You want to be a Christian? If you want to be a Christian, or if you want to be a Christian, you can hit 5-star on your phone this morning, and we will take your confession over this call. People are listening. You'll be able to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then we'll meet you at the building. Or we'll make the arrangements, wherever you want our listening audience, to get you baptized today, and that you contact that blood. And if you're a member of the church, I know many of you are going through, many of us, these some situations we've never seen, some things we've never seen in our lifetime. Situations. Some are fretting, some are concerned, some are worried, many are grieving. But you all, God is true to his promise. So ask for prayer if you need it. Make confession if you need it. Right now we ask Brother Kirby to come on. Give us an invitation song. If you need prayer, make your request known. If you need to repent, make confession. Go ahead and do that. If you need to be baptized, give us your name. Hit 5-star on your phone. If you also remember, if you hit 5-star on your phone and you also want to be a part of the grief program, let us know who you are. Brother Kirby, you can give us the invitation.